This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I am so happy. Today we have Bill Larson of Larson & Larson. He is our official legal eagle because he is going to talk to us about not just intellectual property rights, because you have to protect those, but also you have to protect yourself from scams and all of the things that are going on out there. And authors are being just inundated with all sorts of emails asking them to send their books. Just send us the book. We'll do something with it. Anyway, I'm so happy to welcome. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Well, Bill, I sent you an article because I wanted you to, you know, have a look at it. Whoa. You know, I guess people had a lot of time during this pandemic year, and some of people got up into a lot of mischief.
Yeah, there's a lot of scam artists out there preying on not only authors, but patentees and musicians and artists of all kinds.
Wow, it is. It is something, you know, I look back and I think, oh, Tolstoy and Jane Austen had it so much easier. They didn't have to deal with anything at this level that the, you know, today, really the writer has to be an octopus because you have so many things that you have to do. And one of them, of course, is now you have to turn out to be sort of a paralegal just to sort of weed through what the information that's being sent to you.
Right. And the internet has created a proliferation of scammers out there. Whereas in the old days, you know, you would have to actually meet people face to face. Now they can pose as somebody legitimate with a nice looking website, but when they're really just scammers.
And they are doing it. For example, it's so difficult because they use names that sound so legitimate and they you know, just they're registered offshore somewhere and you never can find them once you're dealing with them.
Yeah, they're very crafty. They're very intelligent. They're very good at making websites that look legit. And they're very convincing on the phone. So you have to be very careful who you speak to.
Exactly. Because one of the things that I know many authors are doing, and this is, they're falling for these scams, and I've had some really sad cases, even just here in our local area, of people falling for scams and sending things in, sending money, giving money for that, just going to make somebody's life nice as they sit around the pool or something. What should people look for? And you mentioned about talking on the phone, if you are on a phone call and you're talking to somebody and they say, you know, I'm working with this producer in Hollywood and I really think, you know, we love your book and we really, really want to go forward with it, but we really need your permission before we take the next step. Is it dangerous to put anything, you know, can they use your voice against you even?
Yeah, so you have to be very careful about people who reach out to you when you haven't reached out to them first. So cold calls are always suspicious. But what you have to do is you have to do your homework, and you have to use the internet against the scammers by doing your research. And if you dig deep enough and do your research, you will find the information that will shed light on the scammers, and you can figure out who they are.
Well, as I said, they're using names, and sometimes they use telephone numbers with the same area code as you would think, like you think you're calling, you know, New York. It's the area code for New York, so you think you're talking to somebody in New York, but that's not necessarily true.
Correct. So they're very tricky at how they fool people. They pose as somebody who is reputable in the industry. And this goes to not just authors, but with patents, trademarks, with every kind of copyright. There's all kinds of scammers out there who appear to be legit. One of the number one ways they get you is called phishing, where they send you an email that appears to be legitimate, and when you click on a link or you respond to it, you've allowed them to get into your computer. That's one of the things you have to watch out for the most.
Now, when you are dealing with, it's, I don't know anymore. You know, I warn people that deals in Hollywood are not made this way, that you don't actually get a deal from a company that, you know, writes to you and they say, we're in Hollywood and we want to take your book and we want to, you know, one person said, well, they said they want to run with it. It's so good. They want to run with it. I said, where are they running? You know, they're running to their bank to get the money out before, you know, you report them. Because that's not how Hollywood works.
No, and this really falls into the category of agency. Now, agents are expensive to have them help you, but agents know, if you have a good agent, who are the scammers and who are the legit the folks out there that can help you get published and get your book in front of people. But that costs money. So it's very difficult when you're on a very small budget trying to get your book out there to hire somebody to vet out these scammers. So you really have to put in the homework yourself.
And it's not easy. I'm telling you, it breaks my heart when people come to me and say, you know, and they believe that, you know, something great is going to happen. And so often these scammers start with a very small amount of money, like $49. And you think, well, $49, I can do $49. And then they come back and they say, yeah, but now we have to put it in a presentation packet because, you know, we can't just hand anything to a producer. They, you know, want it in a specific way. And then it's not like another $149. And then, you know, a few weeks later, they come and say, oh, wow, they really liked it. Now they want you to do a treatment, you know, and we'll go ahead. And so that it adds up. And one of the listeners to my program, and I mean, I sort of got really annoyed with him because he spent almost $1,000 going incrementally. Increasing every time, you know, they said something that, you know, we're going to the next level and they just would need a little bit more money, and he believed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then eventually you figure out that they're not for real and you stop paying, but by then they've got a decent amount of money from you. So you have to be very careful of the folks who will ask for some money and then come back and ask for a little bit more. And then they keep returning to the well asking for more money, knowing that sooner or later you're going to figure it out. But by then, your money's gone, and there's no way to get it back.
And by then, they're gone, because all they do is they change their name, and they use basically the same website. I've seen it done where some of these people have beautiful websites. They look so professional. They look like what you would expect from a Hollywood company, you know, slick, smart, clever. And I've seen one particular company, you know, like 2 years ago, they had... They were getting people, you know, suckered into their thing, and then they disappeared. And they came back, I think, 6 months later with a new name, but essentially the same website. They just changed the colors of the... You wonder, you know, if you're that talented, if you can do beautiful websites, why don't you just get a job doing beautiful websites instead of cheating people?
And a lot of them are overseas, so once you pay, your money leaves the country and it's gone. There's nothing you can do about it. So the courts are not there to help you because the courts can't do anything for folks that are overseas. So you really have to do your homework. You have to get the name of these folks. And for everybody, every scammer out there, there's somebody in front of you who's been scammed and they've put up a complaint on a blog or something, and you can research that. And that's how you can determine which are for real and which are scammers.
Well, there are so many different scams. Of course, one of the ones that was mentioned in this, I never know if we should say the names of these companies, or I don't want to get myself in trouble. I don't want to say, I give a general warning to people. I say, be careful about this. And one of the top...
Telling people any specific names, it's always an issue of doing your due diligence whenever you're getting involved in any kind of a contract where anybody solicits you, either whether it's from an email or a phone call or a letter in the mail. You have to be suspicious at first and then verify that the people are trustworthy.
Well, and simple things, and I didn't know that this happened, and it's, that sometimes even book giveaways can be a scam. You're giving away your book, and people are not actually reading the book. They're selling the books. They turn around the minute they never read the book. They sell it immediately, on Amazon secondhand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so difficult for an author to know what's real or what's not real.
Right, and the only way you can figure it out is to do your homework. You can research these companies, and if you look hard enough, you will find information that shows that they are not legitimate. It's just as much as the scammers are out there, there are websites that publish information concerning scammers, so you can find out who they are and not do business with them.
And what about this idea, when you send your book, and most authors, they have their entire book, and nowadays they have, before, if they sent somebody a book, they would send it, and it would be, on paper. So it was more difficult for people to sort of copy it, because they'd have to, have the system to copy it. Nowadays, people are just sending their whole book as a Mobi file or an EPUB file, and it's gone. And once somebody has your EPUB version, I mean, it's in their hands.
Yeah. And so if you send it to them in a Word document, they can very easily reproduce it quickly. Even if it's in a PDF, they can reproduce it quickly. So there are certain cyber protocols that you can use to protect your work if you send it to somebody so that it can't be reproduced. But those are expensive also, and those are tricky. You have to spend a lot of time to learn how to use those.
Exactly, because if you just send, you attach your book to an email to somebody you don't know, they've got that book.
Unless it's protected, unless the file's protected.
Exactly, and as you said, that's rather an expensive...
It is. It's rather sophisticated. Yeah.
It is.
Money to do something like that.
It is. Sort of like putting a watermark on it, but,
So in any business, you're going to have to invest a certain amount of capital up front to protect yourself and get the business off the ground. In a lot of cases, authors don't have to spend a lot of money because there's no investment in inventory, so to speak, or a lot of advertising at first. You're just looking to get published. So authors have to come to grips with, they have to invest a certain amount of time and money to capitalize what they're trying to do and to learn all of these things of how to protect yourself and how to use agents and how to use lawyers. And that's going to take a certain amount of financial investment. But it's important if you want to succeed.
Exactly, because I tell people that it's just like if you start any business, you're going to have to make some investment. And one of them, and one very important one, is you're going to have to invest in a lawyer. You're going to have some official documents, and you really always need to have a lawyer. When you're in business, you need to know a lawyer that you can turn to and, check what you can do and when somebody does something against you, that you can have protection. And so many authors, nowadays they write their books and they want just to get it out there and they don't think about the ramifications. And just lately I had an author on and she wrote a really great book and it's been picked up by a real television station. But if she didn't protect herself, if she didn't know, if she hadn't, had a lawyer and been ready for something like that, she would be in a mess.
Right. So you have to invest some time not only in your product, which is the book that you're writing, but you have to invest in educating yourself of the laws and how agency works and who are the players in the industry. So there's more than just writing a great book if you want to be successful.
So one of the important things I want to get across to people, if you are emailing people, never agree to anything. And it's sometimes people think, well, if an email is not official, they need my signature. They need to send me something that I sign. But that's not necessarily true. If you agree in an email that somebody has a right to, say, run with your book to a producer, you're giving them a right.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of a contract. It doesn't have to be formalized.
And the same with the voice. So if you're talking to them on the phone and they're recording you, I don't know if people from California can record people in Florida. That's always confusing.
Well, a lot of times there'll either be something of a recording in the beginning that this is being recorded for quality assurances. Well, it's not being recorded for quality assurances. That's not true. But they're just giving you notice that it's being recorded. And if you give somebody notice that the conversation is being recorded, then you can use it. Otherwise, you can't.
So all of those things, when we hear them saying, this is for quality, they just want our voice, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they just want to do it possibly to protect themselves later if something goes wrong. So you have to be very careful out there and use your lawyers, use your agents, and then use your own research before you get into a contract or any kind of conversations with somebody who says they're going to help you get published. Or get your patent out, or try to sell your patent, or try to get your product out and help you trademark it.
Wow, it's a difficult world to maneuver nowadays. It is. Hemingway and F. Scott Fitzgerald had it easy compared to what authors have to go through today. And of course, one of them is social media, and we always have to mention this. I want you again to reiterate to people. First of all, talk to them about the law of when they say something bad about somebody. What does that fall under?
Defamation.
Defamation. So if you say something bad on the internet and you put it on your social media and you say something really bad about somebody, they can come after you.
Yes, if it's false. And the classic things are that, you know, the person's irreparable, they're a thief, they have some kind of medical condition. They're your classic types of defamation. But you have to be very careful when you talk about other people.
Very careful. And, for example, you can't accuse an author of copying somebody else's
plagiarism.
Work
right.
Unless you have proof, right?
Yeah, because that's basically calling them a thief. So you cannot do that. You risk a lawsuit for defamation, particularly if you find out later that you're incorrect.
Then you're in big trouble. And also, using disparaging terminology people have to be just careful.
Yeah, putting somebody in a bad light. Everybody's entitled to, criticism. So you can say, I don't like the book. I didn't like the way the plot went. You're entitled to your opinion. But there's a line that you can't cross where you can't say that the author themselves has some kind of a problem or that the author stole the material or stuff like that. And there's a difference. The law recognizes a difference between honest criticism, which we're entitled to, and then defamation.
So people be careful. We went through this pandemic year where people were really stuck on their computers. And I think everybody was, maybe it was the wearing the mask. You got to your...
There's nothing else to do. You just went on the computer.
Yeah. So people have to be careful. And then definitely, really, if you have... And one of the things I want to mention, too, is that you can... if you have a particular character, I just came across another book where the character of the book, the name of the character and the character could have a life of its own beyond the book.
Yes.
And if somebody has something like that, they should definitely get in contact with you because you are, your knowledge of intellectual property is so vast, and you are a member of APE Law, which tell people about that, because I again warn people, please don't use an attorney who is not experienced in intellectual property. It's a whole new world, right?
Yeah, exactly. So get a specialist, somebody who specializes in copyright law, or if you have an invention in patent law, or if you're branding something, trademarks, use a lawyer. That's all they do. And then you'll have a better case of getting your product protected. So it's all about homework and due diligence. You just can't jump into the pool and expect everything to go right. You really have to do your homework. So you got to check out your lawyers. You got to check out the people you're doing business with and just move slowly and carefully.
So how are things with you? You busy now with, did people come out with a lot of inventions? Well, they're sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah?
We're super busy, yeah. A lot of people, of course, lost their jobs, so they want to be entrepreneurs. So we have an enormous amount of people who've started their own businesses, and so they need patents for their products, they need trademarks, so your names for your products, and copyrights, you know, for either literature or music. So we're very busy, actually more busier than ever.
Well, that's fantastic. And because are the courts still backed up?
The log jam's coming apart right now, so we're catching up quickly. So it should be, I would say, within a year, everything should be back to normal.
Well, you've done very well. You have your, I know you expanded into Tampa. Did you go beyond that?
Yeah, Orlando also.
You're in Orlando now. My goodness, this is fantastic, Bill. It's so wonderful. And I know that my listeners really appreciate all of the advice you give. Because many, many have come to me and said, you know, I would have done this. I would have sent this money. I would have sent my $49.95. But I realized after listening to Bill Larson that, whoa, yeah, I better think about this. I better do exactly what you said. Do the research.
Take a breath. Take a step back and do your research and make sure that you're confident in what you're doing. And don't be swayed by people who just call you on the phone or send you an email. Because they are very good at gaining confidence, and they will take your money.
Oh, they will.
There's 10 bad actors for every one good one out there, so you have to be extremely careful. But you can successfully weed your way through everything if you do your homework and put your time in.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. And where should people contact you?
LarsonPatentLaw.com is my website. And if you have a question, I have a submitting form there. And we can help anybody with any issues they have or answer their questions.
Okay. And again, for all of these people who have started writing during this pandemic year, I want to, again, let's remind them that it is not good enough to just put your work in an envelope and mail it in the post office, you know, a certified mail. That is not the way to do it. Correct?
Correct. You have to register it with the Copyright Office. You can do that yourself, or you can hire a lawyer at copyright.gov. There's a form that you fill out, and you pay your fee, and you upload your work, and then it's protected.
Okay.
Very easy to do.
And that's very, very important. Again,
very, very important.
Bill Larson.
No copyright registration, no protection.
Exactly. It is always important that we reiterate that, because there's always new writers, people who just have finally sort of said, I'm going to do it. And they need this advice. So, Bill Larson, thank you so much for joining me today. Larson & Larson, I'm so happy that you are expanding and doing so well. Thank you very much, Bill.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, we're going to play a book buzz from Devon Miller, because is it a beautiful book buzz? And then we'll be back with Jim Lamb, and we're going to have some literary gems from him.
Author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Talk Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. It's summer, and that means it's the perfect time to go to the beach, go camping, and maybe even take a walk around the park. But if you ever do leave your home, and you have a pet with you, make sure you bring them along, or you might have a similar story to the character Jill from the book Illegal Beagle, written by Sandra Orique Gonzalez and illustrated by Nelly Ogakayan. In Illegal Beagle, readers are introduced to Buttercup, a beagle who seems well-behaved, but when his owner Jill leaves the home, he goes crazy. He chews up the sofa, he chews up the shoes, and teases the cat. But what happens when the owner catches him in the act? Illegal Beagle is a book that reminds readers the importance of building and rebuilding trust, and it's a story completely told in rhyme, which is so much fun. Although Illegal Beagle is written in rhyme, Sandra only writes in rhyme sometimes. Sandra took inspiration from her parents as they would delight their traditionally Portuguese community through musical rhyming arts known as cantoria and velhaz. It was there that she fell in love with the playfulness of children's books after viewing her parents' passion for humor and quick wit. Sandra even has her own dog named Ace, who's a Poochon. Let's hope Sandra's dog Ace is a well-behaved dog as opposed to Jill's dog Buttercup. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. Oh, my throat. I've got too much of this spray in here. I don't know. It's getting to me. But I am so excited. I am so happy to welcome to the program Jim Lamb. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I am wonderful. I've been listening to your legal guy, and boy, he knows the drill. He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, he does, and it is so important. It's so funny. I was so, you know, because I the reason I started having a legal eagle on my program was because years ago when I was working in Hollywood and I got myself into some legal problems that, I mean, I still. Some days it's like I'm still like, ah, you know, I think about it. And if we can just help people understand the importance of really, really taking care of your intellectual property. The reason it is called property is it has a value. And you don't know. Sometimes it can be years after you've written something that for some reason, perhaps it's a topic, perhaps it's a subject, perhaps, you know, all the moons are in alignment or something. Somebody will come and say, well, we want this property. We want to work with you. We want to make a series. We want to make a movie. We like the character. And then if you don't have it all really all just organized and you have, because you have to prove when you, I will tell people, when you have a deal, you have to prove that you have not given this information and this, the rights to other people. And sometimes that is very difficult. So I know it's always people say, well, I don't need a lawyer. I don't need, you know, I'm writing one book. It's one book today. And then one, the next book and the next book. And they say, I don't. But boy, oh boy, when things happen, and things can happen, I've seen some amazing stories. It is good if you have sort of all your ducks in a row, if you have everything organized, your paperwork. One of the things Bill always tells people is keep all of your paperwork, keep a record, because you never know when somebody will come along and say, well, you know, you stole that from me, and you need to have all this paperwork. So I'm just so proud that, you know, Bill has joined us and become our real official legal eagle helping people.
No, he does a great job. You can tell he's experienced.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's done, you know, of course, we're not allowed to talk about his cases. And this is what happens with intellectual property. He's done a lot of work, I know, particularly with music, with authors. You can't talk about it because most of these cases are settled out of court. My lawsuit against a very, very major... a major player in the business, was settled out of court. And I am still under the obligation not to talk about it. I can't reveal it. As much as I would love to smear that person today, I can't do it. So you don't sometimes hear about it, you know, anecdotally, or sometimes within, you know, the family, you might know things that other people don't know. So it is important, really, that people are careful. And of course, I'd like to emphasize the scams, because I don't know about you, but most writers are getting a lot of stuff, things that are being offered to them.
Yeah, I find it at least be skeptical, if not suspicious.
Yeah, well, I'd be suspicious. Well, one of the things, for example, because this is what area that you're an expert in, is doing press releases. And I know many, many people have fallen for offers from, you know, either solicited mostly, you know, by email, sometimes by advertisements in, you know, on web pages, that they will do a press release and they will get it to everybody, every place in the country, every major newspaper. And for $49.95, we will do, a press release, and it's going to go out to everybody, and it's going to be a brilliant press release. And then they pay the money. The press releases are ridiculous. I've seen some press releases that, I mean, a high school student, even today's high school student, could write. And that's not a proper press release, is it? Because you know what a proper press release. How many years did you work in for the newspaper? Which newspaper did you work for?
Well, I tell you, I started with the Newport Ritchie Press in 1975. And the first thing I had to do was rewrite press releases. And some people would send in three pages, single space. I'd have to boil it down to about 250, 300 words. I had one press release I'll never forget, was written on a, back when the bags at the grocery store were brown paper bags. They tore it into a sheet and hand penned the news release on the brown paper. So I have done that, at numerous places, including the Tampa Tribune, the Sarasota Herald Tribune, Community News out of, I think it's Land O'Lakes. And for the last dozen years, I've been writing them myself, although I use two very reputable distributors, and that is PR Newswire and EIN Newswire. They're both solid, good reputations, and they have high standards. And so I have to jump through that hoop and meet their standards before it's ever distributed.
Well, because, for example, I happen to know, particularly in this area, a number of authors who fell for one of these offers. They paid more. They paid like $85. And all the guy was doing, he would write a press release, which was really childish. And he had, you know, he had created his own email list of newspapers, you know, I don't know how many, and he just sent it out like that with the email number, you know, address that he picked up off of their website. Now, that's not the way that newspapers pick up press releases, is it?
Well, there's a number of ways to do it. If you're local with a local press release, back when the Tampa Tribune was around in the St. Pete Times, you would find the right person within a given department. Say if it was business department, you'd do it through either the business editor or an associate editor. If it was more in the features department, you'd go that way. Generally, if it was hard news, you'd want to contact a reporter or an editor on the Metro or State desk personally.
Yeah, it's not good enough just to look at the New York Times email address and send them a press release.
No, that would be like pouring a teaspoon in the Gulf of Mexico.
Exactly. I mean, it was ridiculous. To try to convince me that he was legitimate, he showed me his email list, and I thought, oh, you're joking. This is a joke. You know, I mean, I'm going to send a press release to the New Yorker magazine. Well, I can tell you right now, the New York magazine, they're not going to pick this up, you know. But he was charging people for this.
It's one way to make money, though, not a legitimate one.
Not at all. Not at all. So you have to be careful. Well, of course, with your many, many years of experience writing, it was just perfect that you decided to join Joy on Paper and just offer these literary gems for us. From time to time, when I have, you know, I want to encourage people to write. And also, you know, it's the truth that even people who, they will start writing and they'll write a book and they don't know sometimes the how they've done it, and the book might have many great parts, but they have no real idea of structure, and so often they don't know simple things about writing, and so it's I've had writers who say, well, yeah, I didn't realize that is a metaphor, right? And I say, yeah. So I think it helps writers to sort of have this idea in their head to really understand it. And so I'm enjoying your little gems. We're going to play one now. We're going to play the alliteration one, not the metaphor one, because that's going to be next week. But let's play the alliteration one now. Big Ed in the control room, I think, has it ready. Right, Ed? And he's going to have it ready in a minute. And you'll notice, people, I added a little music to your little gem.
Oh, I love that. It reminded me of the 1950s, 1960s, when you had some really good drummers out there and could carry the whole atmosphere with a few beats on the...
Beatnik. I mean, it's a beatnik music, and I thought, you know, that was cool.
Here's the headline: Good as Gold and Other Alliterations. Short version: well-placed words that share sounds can add razzmatazz to your writing. I'm Jim Lamb. Let's get started. Listen carefully to these four lines from The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. The fair breeze blew, the white foam flew, the Pharaoh followed free. We were the first that ever burst into that silent sea. Did you notice the words fair, foam, flew, Pharaoh, follow, and free? All start with the F sound, all sound alike. That literary technique is called alliteration. Let me expand that. Alliteration is the repetition of initial sounds in a string of words. This pattern helps make the groupings memorable. I like alliterations. Why? Because they're catchy. It's that simple. But it's not just me. Comic book writers discovered this lively literary device years ago. How do you think they ended up with character names like Clark Kent, Lois Lane, Lex Luthor, Peter Parker, J. Jonah Jameson, Stephen Strange, and of course, Wonder Woman? if I were a comic character, I'd probably be Louis the Lamb, or maybe Larry. Movie titles are a great exercise in alliteration. Have you seen Gone Girl, Batman Begins, Air America, or La La Land? When I was a kid, we had a movie called Beach Blanket Bingo. It starred Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello. Ask your grandparents about that one. Beach Blanket Bingo. They don't make movies like that anymore. Marketing people love alliterations. That's why businesses have names like PenPal, Best Buy, Coca-Cola, and Dunkin' Donuts. Products, too. Kellogg's Corn Flakes, Captain Crunch, Baby Back Ribs, and Tonka Toys. Cartoon characters offer a treasure of alliterative gems. Think about it. You've got Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Woody Woodpecker, Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, and my favorite, SpongeBob SquarePants. It's almost impossible to get away from alliterative combinations. Let's say you just want to relax. Enjoy some sports over the weekend. Maybe watch SportsCenter, which is in itself an excellent alliteration. Some sports fans in New York probably watch the Buffalo Bills. New England, Boston Bruins. Ohio, Cleveland Cavaliers. Illinois, Chicago Cubs. In Pennsylvania, fans can watch a matchup between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Philadelphia Phillies. Unless they're hockey fans, then they'd probably watch the Pittsburgh Penguins. Alliterations are everywhere. I'm a baby boomer. That's a great alliteration. Here are some others. If you've got a product or service that carries your whole business, you've got what they call a cash cow. You don't want your kids to shoot an eye out during Christmas? Better not buy that kid a BB gun. Maybe you want your son or daughter to grow up to be a successful geek like those guys and gals on Big Bang. Here's an idea. Why not invest in a Bunsen burner? That'll light up their life. If you're old like me, you might contact Meals on Wheels. Not exactly an alliteration, but it does rhyme. Maybe you're a young kid and you want to play Hungry Hippos. That's definitely an alliteration. Or maybe you need extra money and decide to sell seashells by the seashore. Or pick a pack of pickled peppers for your pal, Peter Piper. It's not just people, places, and things that get the treatment. Sayings do too. Examples: cold as a cucumber, cream of the crop, dead as a doornail, easy peasy, head over heels, live and learn, sink or swim, swan song, supersize, and of course, trick or treat. If I've not included your favorite example here, just send me a note and I'll add it to the list. Whatever you do, don't start ranting and raving. When it comes to alliteration, it's best not to make a mountain out of a molehill, if you know what I mean. I'm Jim Lamb, and you've just learned a little something-something about alliteration.
Okay, hey Jim. That's nice. It's nice to hear yourself, huh?
I didn't know I had it in me. Now that I'm on the radio, I am somebody.
Yeah, you great. That one was without the music, but normally I'm going to play them with the music because I thought the drums, very beatnik, was the right era for you.
Yeah, I thought of that. What was his name? He was on. He was a beatnik. He had the bowl haircut and a little beard, Maynard.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I thought this would will be perfect for you. So I really appreciate that you're going to be doing these literary gems. Of course, one of the things I want to tell people too is, of course, you're a poet, and it was very nice. I don't know if you managed to hear Devon Miller's Book Buzz this week. He did a book buzz for a book called Illegal Beagle. And absolutely wonderful. Well, first of all, Devon, his voice is amazing. He gets so enthusiastic, and he did such a wonderful book buzz for that. And it is a delightful book, wonderful illustrations. And I'm hoping that I will have both the writer and the illustrator on soon, because I'd like to talk to them. They did a great job. And Sandra Orica Gonzalez is the author, and I love the book. She's written it in rhyme. And, of course, I just want to read one line so people can understand what they're in for if they get this book. Kids will just go crazy for this book, but also adults, because she uses very intelligent words. She doesn't, they're not simple words. And one of the lines is, a dapper demeanor, his teeth couldn't be cleaner. Now, that is such a nice, that is so simple, isn't it? To say, a dapper demeanor, his teeth couldn't be cleaner. But it's clever.
Yeah. Well, you have to have fun with words. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, my dad was a construction guy, and I would try to help him. And he would get so frustrated with me because I'm not particularly coordinated. And he would say, why don't you just go in a corner and read a book? And I'd say, okay.
Yes, thank you. That's a great thing to tell a kid. And of course, when did you develop your love for poetry?
You know, I was preteen, probably 9 or 10, and I just happened across a little book of poetry, and it was small; you could almost put it in your pocket. And I carried it around, and I think that was the first time I would read something and get genuinely lost, be outside myself, and step into the world of words. And it was like breathing fresh air. It was like breathing pure oxygen. And I was elated, and I didn't know why. And it really took me years to grasp what a great writer could do, and that was to send the reader somewhere and bring them back, hopefully.
Well, how do people hear your poetry? Where? What's the website for that?
The best place to go, I think, is to my website, JSL Stories, www.jsl, which are my initials, stories, which is plural.com. And there are links to a variety of places, including my YouTube channel, where I read poems, I read quotes from famous writers, and of course I posted my literary gems.
Oh, great. And I will also put a link on my website this weekend. I'm working on updating it and fixing it and adding. And now I have to add a whole section just for you, Jim. So you're going to be keeping me busy this weekend, but I really appreciate it. And I know that, people will enjoy it. I already had really nice comments from people saying thank you. I didn't understand, you know, because they don't teach this. They don't teach in high school. I don't know if they teach anymore. They don't teach writing like they used to when we were younger. I just heard that, for example, in the schools in Baltimore, they're practically, you know, illiterate. They're illiterate. Is really going to be helpful, and I know people will appreciate it. So, Jim Lamb, thank you for joining me today on Joy on Paper for literary gems, because you are a gem.
Well, thank you, Patsy, and it's been great these last 6 years listening to you. I'm inspired by who you have on the show, and it's one of the reasons I decided to go back to school and get my master's degree, is that at age 74, it's not too late for me to learn, and I'll tell you, it's not too late for anyone to start writing.
Exactly. Eugenia Lovett West celebrated her 97th birthday here in February, and she wrote a book about cybercrime. I defy most young people to be able to write a book about cybercrime, and there she is, 97 years old. So
that's fascinating.
Isn't it? And that's the wonderful thing. That is called the joy on paper. So thanks again. Bye-bye now, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, that's great. You know, it's so much fun. I'm just having, I really appreciate when I get messages from you. My either go to the website, radio-joyonpaper.com, or email me at patsy.radio@gmail.com. I love your comments. I really appreciate hearing the stories about how you... Okay, I will tell... I don't know if I should... All right. There's one woman wrote to me. She said, when the pandemic first started, and I said it might last a little while, that's when I was broadcasting out of the house, next to my dishwasher, my Whirlpool silent dishwasher. It's not many programs can be broadcast while you're sitting next to your dishwasher. And she was inspired, and she started writing. And then she got uninspired, and she got depressed, and she started watching reruns of television shows. And I actually mentioned it one day on the program. I said, you know, do something. Don't just watch reruns. And she said, was I peeking in on her? Because she had put away her book. She had done, like, you know, five chapters, and she put it away. She didn't know what it is. So she thought I was spying on her. Because she was actually doing exactly what I told her not to do. And so she pulled it back out. So she went from, you know, March to May writing, stopped in June and July. Then when I told her about, you know, when I told people, you know, stop just watching reruns, do something, she picked it up. She started writing again. And from August to January, she wrote like crazy. She said it's been amazing journey for her. She's now in the process of editing it. She took my advice also that she would learn, you know, handle it like a business, that she would actually take time to learn, take time to find somebody to help work with her, join a writing group. She actually joined a writing group. And she said she's so happy. She just went to her first real in-person meeting after several months of Zoom meetings. And so she was so impressed with the wonderful community of writers. So that's what I am telling you all, that, you know, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper and or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. And your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry and her Witch City Mysteries. And she's got another series coming up. Boy, Haunted Haven. And you can pre-order her book, and it's Carol J. Perry. And Be My Ghost is the name of the book, and you can pre-order it. And also, I just want to say again, I put up an interview today up on my website with Jenny Elder Moak. It is going to be one of my all-time favorite interviews. If you haven't heard it, if you didn't listen, go to my website. It's Jenny Elder Moak, and that was a terrific interview. Because we are on the same wavelength. Now, she got optioned. Her book got optioned. And it is going to be a series. So this can happen to you. It is quite, quite wonderful, the things that can happen to you if you become a writer. So anyway, say something nice to somebody. And I have to say something nice to Big Ed in the control room very fast because I have running out of time. And Ed saluted me and I saluted him because I should have been a general. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great weekend.